Oh, no, you don't want to know the record the joke like 2 weeks ago. So, it's such a privilege to be together. And I thought, just for starters, I'd just like to remember a little bit last year what the Lord did. And in my mind, in the spring, that came to my mind in the prayer meeting. It was so dry in the spring and already hot. And thinking of the other years, of the smoke and forest fires, we were thinking, we need to pray for rain. And I remember several Thursdays we prayed for rain, and it was the wettest summer, probably since years. But, you know, I really believe God wants to answer prayers, right? And a couple of weeks ago, we agreed for rain for Australia, and then we heard a testimony that in one region, at least, they had some rain. And so they probably need more. We want to continue to pray. And we always want to pray with the solution in mind, right? Because often we are compelled to pray because there's a problem. But we always want to look for the solution and ask God specifically for the answer, right? Because so if you have anything that you would maybe testify, you can even later on or in the middle of the service raise your hand. And because it's good, like in Revelation, it says they overcame by the power of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life. So we get to that verse later on again. So that's kind of my introduction. Now, I like to start with a joke. You know, I hope you don't mind, because it's just good for us to have a little bit of laughter, and, you know, sometimes it gets so heavy. And so this one is a bit from the 60s, 70s, where long hair was a sign of rebellion. So, Danny, don't be whatever. The son just got his driver license and is asking his dad if he can borrow the family car. The dad replies, "If you get your grades up and you read your Bible daily and you trim your hair, then okay." After 1 month, the son is asking again. The dad acknowledges the better grades and that he was reading his Bible, but the hair is still long. In protest, the son counters, "Dad, what's the matter? Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, they all had long hair." A short pause. Then the dad replies, "That's why they had to walk everywhere they went." Good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, would you just give me grace to share what you put on my heart and remove me and my ideas and quicken your word and confirm your word, Jesus, with sign following. Amen. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. And maybe just read through it. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." And so Paul has a deep concern that somehow when there is too much emphasis on the intellect, on eloquent speech and human wisdom, that somehow the power of God could be robbed. And I believe Paul, he was educated by the best. In his days, he grew up at the feet of the high priest, or a real Gamaliel, I believe, a real taught man. So Paul could have been called a doctor, PhD, and with all the bells and whistles. But somehow he felt he needed to put that down. And I was thinking, why is it for him so important? Why would a superior intellect, when he preaches with that superior standard, like using big words and being very elaborate and very intellectual. And you know, a lot of people, they like that intellectual mind. And I don't think we should be stupid with the gospel. It makes sense. The word of God is real. It can be explained. We can study it. It makes sense, right? But somehow there is something that Paul felt he needed to lay some of that down in order so that, I don't know, one thought I had is, see, if he elevates himself to that intellectual level, then people with less studying, with less intellect, would feel left out. They would feel they never could achieve. And so he felt he needed to bring it in a very simple, basic, Jesus Christ and him crucified. A simple message that every believer can go out and repeat. I somehow see that there is so much power in that. What is the gospel that Paul preached? What is that gospel? That good news that Jesus came, gave his life for us, reconciled us with the Father, and we can now have his Spirit in us. I like 2 weeks ago, the message Mark preached. And maybe it was good that he didn't have time to study too long. And Mark is usually good anyway, but you know, like, I just felt it came out of his heart. It just came out of his meditation, what he studied, and it just was a very basic message, right? That God wants to dress us up in gold, that we carry the Holy Spirit in us. You know, that temple, the picture of the temple covered in gold. And I was thinking as he preached, you know, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the beauty that the old temple had is nothing compared to what God is doing on the inside of us, clothing us with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And so Paul here, he really felt that the demonstration of the Spirit and power is more important. So he had a simple message, but then he expected that something would happen. He expected that somehow the Holy Spirit would demonstrate with signs and with power that this message is from God. In the previous chapter in 1 Corinthians, he talks about how the Greeks, they want to have wisdom. They want to have elaborate talk. And the Jews, they want to have miracles and signs. None of that is actually, I pray for wisdom every day. And I pray that God would give me maybe a little bit of eloquent speech. Because if I'm stumbling too much over the words, maybe you will have a hard time receiving what I'm saying, right? And I'm praying for signs and wonders, for miracles. But somehow our faith has to be based on the power of God working in and through us. We can never, we can always fall back in that place of self-righteousness, thinking that we achieved it on our own. Instead of appealing to the intellectual mind, the preacher of the gospel should move us to an experience with the power of God. And so that's for the preacher, but also for you and me in the daily life. We need to keep that gospel simple so we can actually go out and share it with our neighbor. That it's not complicated, that it's basic, it's clear, and it leaves room for the power of God to come in and confirm it. I'm going to have another verse in 1 Corinthians 1:17, the second part, just the chapter before. For Christ, and again Paul is speaking, did not send me to baptize. That was the issue before, but now, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So somehow if his presentation would be too clever, too intellectual, then it could rob the power of God. It could take the power out of the gospel. That's amazing. I got here in the Good News Bible, I believe, it says, he was telling the good news without using big words. That would make the cross of Christ lose its power. You know, I'm a bit like when I hear theologians, studied people preach, and I'm with my German background or Swiss background, I have maybe a smaller amount of words in my English language. And I really struggle when they use big words. I think, well, come on, bring it down so we can understand it. And I really feel God, Paul is pounding on that a little bit. So it's simple, right? We don't have to have elaborate words. We have a gospel that actually can be demonstrated. We need to expect the Holy Spirit to demonstrate the truth of this gospel. And that's maybe also why I was asking for testimonies. And I really, if you have anything at the end of the service that you could come and share, a testimony, where God answered your prayer, something happened. Maybe you're not fully there yet, but you saw something. Share it. It encourages all of us. But on the other hand, when we make God's message to man, the gospel, an intellectual theory, we can remove ourselves from experiencing his power in our life. If that message, if the gospel, if my Bible reading, if my going to church becomes an intellectual theory, and it's not something that I expect to experience the effect in my daily life, then it is robbed. The power of the gospel cannot work in my life. If we could have 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 again. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, Jesus, the word Jesus in Hebrew means the deliverer, or to rescue, to deliver. The Savior, right? So that was Jesus, the deliverer. Christ, in the Hebrew language, it talks about the anointing, the anointed one and his anointing. So anointing or Christ means when you smear something, you baptize something. Like maybe your pancake, right? You pour syrup over it. It's totally anointed, saturated. Like, and that's what Jesus, it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's what the anointing did. So Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one, the deliverer, that was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then in John, we know Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And that's what Mark shared 2 weeks ago again. The Holy Spirit inside of us, God in us. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And so as I prayed about this message, I feel God wants us to have a fresh expectancy that a simple message of deliverance to the people, of rescue, that Jesus Christ, the rescuer, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, a simple message will actually start to bring results. It will start to bring change. And I really believe we need to expect that as we speak into other people's lives. This morning I picked up a hitchhiker and his hand was swollen, and he said it's for one month already like that, and it's not healing. And so I just quick asked, is it okay if I pray for you? And I prayed for him, I don't know yet what happened, right? But I expect something to happen. And we want to do it again and again. And maybe we still have to grow a little bit. Doesn't matter. But we want to start acting on it. Preaching Jesus and him crucified, right? Jesus Christ and him crucified. What happened on the cross? You know, in Romans it talks about how he defeated the enemy. The handwriting, the laws and rules and regulations that were against us, he ripped it apart. The enemy has nothing against us anymore. We are redeemed. We are set free for all eternity. Sin has been paid for, past, present, and future. We have a new life, and now the new life we live is the grace of God flowing through us, changing us from the inside out, and not by pressures of law, rules, and regulation. His death and burial. You know, and I just saw again, when he died on the cross, right? At the cross he said, it is finished. There's nothing we have to add. All we have to do is accept it and start walking in it. He made a public spectacle of the enemy. He led captivity captive, in Romans again it says. But the gospel will lose its power if we feel the need to explain everything with our intellect. You know, a few years ago, a few of us went down to a Reach, and a professor, a doctor from the States was there, and for 20 years he studied the book of John. And it was deep. A good brother, he had nice, good insight. At the end of the lecture, the question was raised, what do you believe the greater works that Jesus talks about in John 15, I believe, or somewhere there? What is the greater works that Jesus says you will do? Because he says there, the works that I do, you will do as well, and even greater works. And Jesus says also in that context, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, right? What are the greater works? And he says, I don't understand it. When I read that, I quickly move on. And we come home, and the next few days, I was grieved in my spirit. And I started pondering and thinking, you know, when you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it gives us a lot of information about Jesus, right? It gives us some good teaching. But in every gospel, there is a focus at the end to send us to go and do what Jesus did. It's maybe only a few verses, but it seems like at the very end, okay, now I showed you everything, now you go and do. Now go do the gospel. Share this good news, right? And so the books are written so we go and do. And as I prayed and agonized for a while, I felt, I had this picture come to my mind. I saw a McDonald's, forgive me, it's McDonald's, but I saw a McDonald's, a drive-through, cars lined up, people outside the door, inside, and the people were hungry, they wanted food. Let's say, imagine it would be healthy food, right? And inside the McDonald's, the staff, the manager, they were huddled together around the table, and they were talking about Mr. McDonald, how he started this great work, and how he made those hamburgers, and they discussed what kind of car he drove, and where his first location was, and how many locations they have now. And they were just, and as I watched that, I looked at people outside, they were hungry, they wanted food. But they were debating about stuff that really didn't matter, and I just felt in Christianity sometimes that's how it was. You know that there is big debates about this and that and what kind of donkey Jesus rode and debates about theology. But you know it's not about that. It's about to go and share this good news. It's about inviting your neighbor to a meal and loving him when he smells and accepting him when he's lonely and identify with their pain and hurt. It's about praying for the sick and giving a word of encouragement to the downcast. It's about going and doing. It's not about knowing and having a superior intellect or being able to have an eloquent speech. And that's, I feel, what Paul in this passage is kind of hitting on, right? To keep it in a place where the power of God can come. Expect the power of God to come through. What we believe about the kingdom will determine how you live. You know, if we put too much emphasis on the intellect, we will not move out. We will never feel good enough. We will never feel smart enough. We will never feel eloquent enough to share the gospel. But you all have Jesus on the inside, and you all can share this good news. There's two keys I sense the Lord wants me to share, or for me in my life, and that one is prayer, the other one is reaching out to individuals. Because you will never see the power of God in display if you don't reach out. But 2 years ago when Phil came, we started a prayer meeting, and I always had a hunger for prayer. But I really sense something is happening in our midst because we come together. And you know, in the Old Testament, that picture is painted that one will put 1,000 to flight, but two of you, 10,000. And there is this multiplication. When you come together with somebody else and you agree, there is something happening. It's like, yeah, there's a multiplication happening. And I just feel, I want to encourage you to find somebody to pray with. And I'm so encouraged for our Thursday night prayer meeting. It's just, You know, we come together and we maybe pray for the same thing over and over. We keep praying for the government. We keep praying, blessing the town at the end. And we pray for our loved ones. But I sense it, in our family even, I see us as some stuff, walls and hindrances in my children's life that kept them from moving along with God. It's just crumbling. I can see it falling down. And so I'm encouraged, and we're going to see more and more. And then reaching out, right? Prayer alone will not do it, but I believe it's the foundation. I believe without prayer we can go out and it's just like stale. But then if everything is soaked in prayer, then there is suddenly an activity in the Spirit that will happen, and opportunities will be seen easier, and the breakthrough will come. I remember one, Rodney Howard Brown, if you're familiar, a preacher, a great evangelist in the States years ago, and he understood that God wants him to go out, and he shared in one of the conferences I was, how when he started to pray for people for healing, the first three serious engagements in prayer, they died on cancer or something bad, right? But eventually he kept on praying, he kept on pressing through, and eventually he saw literally hundreds healed through in crusades he held all over the place. But he started just somewhere with a neighbor, right? And so I just see that we never give up, that we don't lose heart, that we keep on praying. Jesus says, keep on knocking, keep on praying, keep on seeking, because he wants to answer your prayers. So as a closing, I like to read Revelation 12:11. And I quoted that already. And they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the dead. And you know that when you think of the power of the blood of Jesus, it wipes out all our sins, right? But God adds something there, the word of their testimony. And so I think there is two, like when I declare God's promises over my life, that's part of that testimony that overcomes, that brings, activates the power of God. But it's also the sharing of when God did something in your life. And, you know, so I really would like to encourage you all for if you have something today, but also the coming year, if something, even a little thing, if something is happening and you see an answer to prayer, write it down. Don't forget it and share it with us. Share it with somebody. You know, it may not feel grand. It may doesn't feel that spectacular, but there is real power in testifying your experience with the Lord. And they did not love their lives unto death. Because I think a lot of times people are afraid of sharing a testimony. They feel, oh, I may look stupid, right? Or oh, I maybe make a talk. I know some people, they had real, like, I know friends of mine, they had, like, cancer healed. They never testified. And they know it's through the prayer. They know, like, without prayer, it would not have happened. And they are afraid they would make a target for the enemy. Right? But you know, your life can be hidden in Christ. You can walk in the secret place of the Most High. We don't have to be afraid to share and testify what God did in our lives. So I want to encourage you with that. And that's pretty much it. Does anybody would have something they would like to share? Would you? Would you mind coming up front? It's maybe good if I can hold it.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here with you again. I think this is about the 12th or 13th time we've joined you over the last 5 or 6 years. And this morning we have brought our granddaughter again. And this is the second time. And back home in Kanata, Ontario, just outside of Ottawa, there's a little girl in our congregation. I started working with her when she was in our nursery, and she's now 10 years old. My granddaughter's 9. And so last year I asked Willow, that's my little friend's name back home in a church, and I said, can I give you the name of my granddaughter that you would pray for her? And this is the second time she's come.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for sharing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay.
This is to share with you that God cares about everything, all the little things. So I have to say that every day, every day, I do a quiet time with the Lord in the morning early. And then I ended off by saying, okay, I give you my life today, whatever you want, whatever you need me to do, or whatever you don't want me to do, please just make it happen. I'm trusting you. So that particular day, we were in town, and I had some stuff to drop off at the dump. And so did that. And then I thought, oh, I'll look in the share shed. Sometimes there's something there that you might need, da-da. And so I did. And there was an incredible pair of ladies' leather winter boots with fur on them. And I went, oh, those are really, really nice. And I looked at them and I thought, I need to take those. I don't need them. I need to take them. And I went, I should leave them there for somebody else. No, you need to take them. Okay, so I took them, got them home. And I went, well, maybe I should wear these. So I put my feet in them. They're way too big for me. And then I realized that there was a little zipper on it that was broken. So that was why they were there. Okay. But so I'm saying, okay, so God, what am I supposed to do with these? Because I don't need them just sitting around my house. They're pretty. And they need to be used. And so that afternoon I was talking with Mary Ann, and she was talking about how she was going to her brother-in-law's funeral in Calgary, and that she'd prayed about getting her ticket, and then she talked about bereavement with the person who was in charge of the ticket, and she got this off and she got that off, and it was really wonderful how God had supported her in her trip to Calgary with this airfare. And she said, you know, the only thing that I'm missing now is a pair of boots. I've got my old white grubby boots that I wear for winter, but I don't have nice boots. And I said, I believe we have them. And so that's the end of the story. Mary Ann got the beautiful boots, and she wore them to the funeral, and she wore them to the cemetery, and now she's wearing them around town. There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, God is concerned for every detail in our life, right? Every part. One more. It's exciting.
Well, I have a really long list, but you guys are probably hungry, so I won't give the long list. I'll give a short story, but I have a joke thing that I say to Marianne, that don't you know you entertain angels in underwear? Because of the scripture, angels unaware. So so I always say, yeah, angels in underwear, because that's why I teach children, huh? And so anyways, like I say, long, long lists of things. But one day, our dog ran out the door, and Bear is a very energetic dog. He should not be running the neighborhood unaccompanied, I'll put it that way. And he was gone, and I cannot run at this time to chase him. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to keep walking. Lord, please help me. I don't know how I'm going to catch this dog. And I'm like, I really need help. And then coming down the street is Gail. And I grabbed her. I'm like, Gail, we need to pray right now. My dog just ran away. And she's like, what? And I'm like, just pray, my dog. We got to get it. Okay. So she prays this wonderful prayer. She finished the word. And then here he comes. Wow. And then I got him. And it's a small thing, like I say, but it's not small because God didn't wait 3 hours until the dog could have got hit by a car. No, he sent someone along. Instantly when I said, I need help right now, he sent someone to help me, pray with me, and then the dog was like, okay. And I think people need to recognize, and it's, I'm very blessed to have my home stay student here today. And I like to share, we've had several stories like that with the kids, missing wallet, missing phone, and I say, let's pray. Well, it matters. God cares about everything.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Anita. Thank you. Thank you. So let's keep that in mind, that the coming year, if you have even the slightest thing, share it with us. And so, Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that the gospel is good news to the poor, to everybody oppressed. You came and you healed all who were oppressed by the devil. And I ask, Father, that the simple message that you would sign following, that the oppression would lift, situations would change, Father, that decisions would be made, that you restore relationships, bring justice, Lord. I ask that you bring healing, anybody in here, Father, whatever there is, Father, that healing would flow like a river. That you would strengthen our immune systems, that we would be strong and able to do what you have called us to do. Just strengthen us, Lord. And we love you, Jesus. Thanks for this morning. Amen.